This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. It's 60s Music Week on Fresh Air. Today, it's the British Invasion. The Who was founded in 1964 in London and soon became a voice of teenage rebellion with anthems like My Generation, which had the group's most famous line, "Hope I die before I get old." The song was written by the band's guitarist, Pete Townsend. His rebellious energy was expressed not only in his songs, but in his power chords and in the way he'd smash his guitar at the end of his concerts. The Who's bass player, John Entwistle, died in June. I spoke with Pete Townsend in 1993. Let's start with The Who's 1967 recording, I Can See for Miles.
I know you deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Oh yeah.
If you think that I don't know about the little tricks you play, never see you when deliberately you put things in my way. Well, here's a poke at you. You're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile because all the while I could see for miles and miles. I could see for miles and miles. I could see for miles and miles and miles.
When you started playing rock and roll, you really cranked up the volume and started using feedback and distortion. Can you tell me why you became so interested in volume and distortion?
Well, there are a couple of different things. I mean, there's, you know, there's a sort of a sociologist in me on this subject, and I think that and if I can actually talk about Jim Marshall as an example here, I won't talk about me. Let me talk about Jim Marshall. Jim Marshall is the man who invented the Marshall amplifier, you know, the big stack that The Who used, that mm-hmm. Eric Clapton used, that Jimi Hendrix adopted when he came to the UK, that big wall of sound thing. And Jim had a music shop. And one day, I went in and we'd been playing at pubs. And I said, I've got these two American amplifiers, Jim. I've got a Fender Pro Amp and a Fender Bassman Amp. And I said, they're great amplifiers. They sound great. And I was already using a certain amount of feedback. And I said, but the trouble is that I can hear the audience. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I can hear them. You know, I mean, if I'm playing and somebody's in the front row and they say, this is junk, I can hear what they're saying. I don't want to hear them, okay? And I said, so I need something bigger and louder. And his eyes lit up. And I said, can you do this for me? And he said, and he got his engineer out and he said, do you think you can do this? And the guy said, yeah, I think I can do it. You know, I can do it. I think I can do it. And I realized at that moment that what was actually happening was that I was demanding a more powerful machine gun. And Jim Marshall was going to build it for me. And then we were going to go out and blow people away all around the world. And the generation we were going to blow away was the generation immediately preceding us, the ones who had the gall to tell us that we were wimps because we had long hair, wimps because we didn't have wars to fight in, wimps because we couldn't prove ourselves in military service because we didn't have it, you know, it was not necessary anymore. We were post-atomic bomb people, that we were wimps, 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 and that the only reason that we even had electric guitars and rock and roll was because they'd paved the way for peace and given everything up, which is, of course, absolutely true they had. You know, and Remembrance Day is a day that I take very seriously. It's just past. You know, I do remember those guys that gave us this peace. And I don't, you know, I don't, I cry for them. But I think that anger was something that really crossed over generations. It wasn't just from rock and roll. It just wasn't from me and my need to smash guitars. It was right over the whole industry, right through the whole of show business and rock and roll and the media and everybody. Everybody of that generation wanted it to be bigger, louder, and wanted it to be as big as the atomic bomb had been.
Now, how do you connect this to smashing guitars?
I think the connection isn't actually, you would call it in CD-ROM talk, you would call it a hyperlink. I don't think it's a direct connection. Mm-hmm. I think it's a byproduct of stage performance. I think the first guitar that I broke in front of my grandmother. When I was 14,
Were you impressing her, or was this a mistake?
No. She came. It was another take on the Jim Marshall story. She bought me my first guitar, which was a piece of trash, and I was very upset because my father had recommended the guitar because I couldn't play the clarinet, and I wanted him to buy the guitar. So I was angry that she bought me this piece of trash, and it was very, very hard to play. And my dad said, she has bought it for you. She is your grandmother. Try and learn to play something on it. And if you can, then I'll buy you a new one. And this went on and on and on and on. And one day I'm clunking away at this horrible kind of guitar, which was really fit only to be hung on the wall at an Italian restaurant next to the Chianti bottles. And I think that's where it probably came from. And she came in and she said, "This is a bloody awful row, why don't you play some proper music?" And I said, listen, Nan, it's we know what we're doing, leave us alone. And I was with John Entwistle, who was, we were little kids, really. And she said, "No, turn it off, it's a bloody horrible row." So, and she said, "If you don't turn it off, I'll smash it." So I said, "No, you won't smash it." And I got the guitar, and I smashed it over the amplifier. I broke an amplifier at the same time too, a little kind of tiny amplifier, and she went completely white and walked out of the room. And John said, "You've done it now," and I said, "I might have." I said, "But John, I feel great," and of course I was able then to go and look for a decent guitar and rob and steal to get it, which is what I did, and found myself a decent instrument. And from there on, I never looked back, really.
Yeah, but once you had a good instrument, why did you smash that on stage?
Guitars are very good for me to express myself by smashing them.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good for me to express myself by playing them. They're very good for express myself by pouring lighter fluid over them and warming my hands. It depends what I'm doing.
But let me ask you, how did the feeling you had the first time you smashed a guitar on stage compare to the feeling you had like the 100th time or the 200th time you'd done it? Did it still feel as good? Did it feel good in a different way?
I don't think it's ever felt good at all. I don't think it's something that I expected to feel good.
I mean, good in the sense of a release.
I don't think it's ever felt good as a sense of a release. I'm afraid it's always been too... I've always used the instrument that I happen to be playing at the time, and I mean, as I see it splinter, I'm thinking, "Oh my God, $1,000." But I've actually been enough of an artist and believed in the act enough to do it again and again and again.
Well, what does the act mean to you?
It means a number of things. I think It's a statement mainly of artistic independence. I mean, it's also an act of... It's in the same tone as we want our amplifiers to be loud so that we can't hear the response. It's like saying, "Okay, the show is over now. I am finished." And in a sense, that all music is over now. Everything to do with this particular event is over now. It's finished. The interaction between me, you, and this guitar is over now. It's a big, dramatic action. And the reason that it has to, in a way, be theatrically violent, because I think that's as far as it gets. It's we used to smash our equipment up and then go back and drink cups of lemon tea. Like, I think that the reason that it needs to be theatrically violent is in a way that it is because the observation that the thing that we're trying to get out of the response that we want from the audience is one of absolute reflection at that moment on everything that's happened up to that point. To stun them, to actually stop them.
Pete Townsend recorded in 1993. This is Fresh Air.